We'll talk about it. How much turkey do you have to eat? What's the shears? Zero? Kazayas, Kabea? Reviews? Three chuvas from Ramesha. We'll talk about it. There's three chuvas from Ramesha.
On Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Each one says something else. All right.
Really? Big contradiction?
Okay, we've emerged from the sugya of Ibra Hashanah, Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Gemara picks up over here with the next line in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Smicha Zekeinim also requires three, but the Braisa quotes a machlekes, is it three or is it five? Look at the two dots, Taner Rabbanan V'Samchu Ziknei. Now this is not talking about giving smicha, that will be later in the Gemara. This is talking about smicha that was done on karbonos, where the person who was bringing the karbon would put his hands on top of the karbon. But that's a private karbon. You would put your hands on top and confess your averus. But that's a private karbon. You don't need dayanim for that. Here we're talking about the parhelam dover shel tzibor. If roiv of klal Yisrael performs an avera based on the psak of the bezdin, so then the bezdin is the one who has to bring the karbon, not each individual member of klal Yisrael, because primarily it was their fault. So Tana Rabbanon, when you bring a par helam davar shel tzibur, which is discussed over here by the pasuk, it's quoted if you have it on the side of your Gemara, and I believe it's Parshas Tzav, I think. Perek Dalet. Vayikra is it Tzav or Vayikra? It's Parshas Vayikra still. No, the end of Parshas Vayikra. So the pasuk says, "V'samchu ziknei ha'edos yedehem al rosh hapar." The Ziknei Ha'eda would put their hands on top of the animal. So how many people is that? V'samchu Ziknei Yochel Ziknei Hashuk. You might think, you know, random old people from the marketplace. Talmud Lomar Eda. No, they have to be communal individuals. Eda, if they have to be communal individuals. Yochel Eda Ketana, Ketana Eda. Could be they're from a Sanhedrin Ketana, meaning a Sanhedrin of 23. Talmud Lomar Ha'eda. Samchu Ziknei Ha Eda, of the Eda, Miuchadin Sheba Eda, who is that? The Eda, that's the Beis Din HaGadol that resided in the Lishkas HaGozes, within, on the Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. That Beis Din HaGadol has to be members of them. How many do you need? V'samchu, V'kamehem, V'samchu Shnayim, that's two, it's plural. Ziknei Shnayim. Two, ve'ein beiz and shokel. Of course, you cannot have an even number of dayanim. Ma'asif and alein oirecha. That's five. Harekan chamisha de Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon Omer ziknei shnayim, ve'ein beiz. No, ziknei is two. He doesn't darshan v'samchu. Ziknei is two. Ve'ein beiz and shokel. Ma'asif and alein oirecha. Harekan shloisha. So Rav Shimon's opinion is three. Rabbi Yehuda five. Rav Shimon three. Rav Shimon. But what about v'samchu? Rav Shimon haksi v'samchu. That's necessary just for the poshut taich and the posuk that they have to put their hands on top of the animal. It's instructive. Rabbi Yehuda legufe loitzarach. He says, no, you don't need that for the poshut taich and the posuk. Dimkein de laasi v'samchu l'drasha. If v'samchu wasn't coming to teach you something additional, lichta v'samach. That's what it should say. V'samach ziknei ha'eda yedeim al rosh hapar. Let it say that they should place their hands on top of the par. What does it have to be in plural for? In plural, comes to teach us you need another two dayanim, five.
Wouldn't that be inconsistent with like the
zikne? V'samach, they, is the unit of they, should place their hands. What's v'samchu? Grammatically, v'samchu makes more sense. I understand your point. But he said it could have just said v'samach. That's minimal. Minimally, we would have understood what it's talking about. Okay. Rav Shimon iksiv hachi havamina my al b'samach. No, I would have said they don't actually have to. B'samach means next to. Doesn't mean they should place their hands on top of the animal. They should place their hands next to b'samach, next to the animal. Rav Yehuda gomer roish roish me'ayla. No, the pasuk says over here b'samach zidem al roish hapar. B'samach zikne eda zidem al roish hapar on the head of the par. And the pasuk says earlier, by the carbon oil of a samach yadoy al roish ha'oila, by a private individual, that he should put his hands on top of the oil. So if he has to put his hands on top of the oil, certainly they have to put their hands then on top of the parom davar shel tzibur, not next to it. Rav Shimon lo gomer roish roish me'oila. Rav Shimon does not derive that connection from the beginning of Parshas Vayikra to the end from the roish of the oil, they put their hands on top and not next to it, to the over here to the parom davar shel tzibur, that they should put their hands on top and next to it. Therefore, he needs v'samchu to teach us that it's on top, not next to it. And he doesn't have it to teach us an extra two dayanim. So Rav Shimon holds three. Rabbi Yehuda holds five. But five dayanim from where? What did we say? Where are these dayanim coming from? From who? From the Beis Din HaGadol. From the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So it's interesting, you see over here, the Sanhedrin HaGadol normally, first of all, function together as a unit of 71. Here we have members of the Sanhedrin HaGadol functioning outside of the context of the whole 71. Strange. Meaning they're not working together. Normally, the Beis Din HaGadol means 71 Dayanim, who resided, as we know, in the Lishkas HaGadol, that part of the Beis HaMikdash that was set aside for them. So, first of all, it sounds like you don't have to function with all 71. That's one thing we see over here. And we see a similar thing as well, Gemara later on, Daf Yudal Amud Aleph. Turn to Yudal Amud Aleph. At the bottom, there's two dots. Egla Rufa Bishloisha. Egla Rufa, which of course is the, if you find a dead person in between two cities, the Beis Din comes and measures which city is the closest to, and whichever city is closest to has to bring an Egla Arufa, basically claiming responsibility or claiming innocence in this person's death. But you have to measure which city is the closest to. Who does that? We'll see. It's the Beis Din HaGadol. Tana Rabbanan. V'yotzu zikeinecha v'shoiftecha. The zikeinecha, the shoiftecha should go out and measure. Who is the zikeinecha? Zikeinecha, first of all, you need two. Shnaim. Shoiftecha, shnaim. V'ein Beis Din shokmos even lein oirechot harekan chamisha divrei Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda holds five. Rabbi Shimon Amar Zikeinecha Shnayim is two. Ein Beis Din Shakum Asifin Lein Oirechon. You can't have an even number of Dayanim. So, of course, you have to add one. Areikon Shloisha, that's three. Rabbi Shimon Hai Shoiftecha My Avilei. What does he do? He dashes Zikeinecha, not Shoiftecha. My Avilei. Hahumi Boilei Lemiyuchadin Shebe Shoiftecha. They have to be special individuals within the Shoiftecha, within the community of judges. Who is that? Writes Rashi, Shiyu Mizikne Sanhedrin HaGadol. They have to be from the Beis Din HaGadol. So again, you see these Dayanim functioning outside of the context of all 71. Strange. So if Soloveitchik said, you see from here that to be part of the Beis Din HaGadol is not just you're now part of a exclusive club, but it also becomes a minoy in the gavra, meaning this person, even when he's outside of the context of all 71, he also has a unique status and title that he's entitled to on his own. And that travels with him wherever he goes. So even though he's not functioning together with all 71, it's not that if you have all 71 that you have the Sanhedrin, you have the Beis Din HaGadol. If you don't have all 71, you have nothing. No, each one individually has an appointment of importance, and that title travels with him even in other contexts, even when he's not functioning together with all 71 Dayanim. That's what you see from the three or five that are functioning over here by Smichas Parum Davish Al Tzibor, and by the three or five Dayanim that are functioning over here by the Egla Arufa. And so if Soloveitchik claim this is true, even if the Dayanim are not in the Lishkas Hagazas, normally, in order for the Beis Din HaGadol to be considered the Beis Din HaGadol, they have to be in the Lishkas Hagazas. That's a Gemara later on. Yudalim HaBeis. Rabbi say, turn to Yudalim HaBeis. The Gemara says, 10 lines from the top. Last three words in the line are Amar of Yosef. Amar of Yosef. Tashma Matsana Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi was some, like, I don't know, we'll have to get up to this Gemara, but it's some location on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara here is discussing the parish of Zaken Mamre. Zaken Mamre is the following situation. If you have a member of the Beis Din HaGadol who paskins against the majority opinion of the Beis Din HaGadol, he's a dissenting opinion. No, if the matter hasn't been adjudicated by the Beis Din HaGadol, let's say that, you know, it's in the lower courts. So every judge, you find like that in America, every judge, every judge can say whatever they want. Until it comes to Supreme Court. Once it comes to Supreme Court, now you can't argue with the Supreme Court. You argue with the Supreme Court, you're wrong. That's a mistrial. You can't do that. So too over here. Lahavdil. Every judge can say whatever they want. They're obligated to say whatever they want. You're supposed to say whatever you want. Yet, if an issue is paskined by the Beis Din HaGadol, now you're not allowed to be a dissenting opinion. If you are, you're put to death. You're considered to be a Zaken Mamre. We mentioned that he has to be a person who's Higiyah L'Iroh. At that point, you're no longer able to disagree with the Beis and Agadol. But when does the person, or let's say, the Gemara discusses the situation, let's say the Beis and Agadol is not residing right now in the Lishkas HaGozis, in that part of the Beis HaMikdash compound that's set aside for them. So Amar Rav Yosef Tashma Matzona Beis Pagi. Let's say you happen to find them outside in Beis Pagi, Vehimra Alein, and you disagree with them there. Yochel Tehe Hamra Asa Hamra. You might think that that's called a Merida. That's called Zakim Mam. That's called a person who's dissenting against the Beis Din Agadol. Talmud Loimar. Therefore, the Pasuk teaches us in Parsha Shoiftim. Vekamta Valisa El Amokim. You should come up and arise to that place where the Beis Din Agadol is sitting. Melamed Shahamokim Garim. That comes to teach us that the Mokim itself is what endows them with the status of the Beis Din HaGadol. If they leave that place, they're no longer considered the Beis Din HaGadol, and that's why they're not really supposed to leave, the Gemara says. Well, individuals can leave, but you have to leave a minimum of 23. We'll get to that Gemara. Yeah, but individuals can leave, but not the majority. Majority have to stay there. That's their place. If they're there, that's considered to be the Beis Din HaGadol. If they're not there, then they're not the Beis Din HaGadol. So, however, if Salvechik said, it sounds like, even though that's true for the halachas that require all 71, but if you have a halacha that doesn't require all 71, let's say it's a halacha that is nogea, it's relevant to each individual dayin, you don't have to be in the Lishkas HaGozis. It's only if you want to come b'teras, all 71, then you have to be in the Lishkas HaGozis. But if it's a halacha that depends on less than the number 71, it depends then on my personal status as part of a member of the Beis Din HaGadol, you don't have to be in the Lishkas HaGozis, because that appointment travels with you even when you leave the context of 71, even when you leave the context of the Lishkas HaGozis. Rav Salvechik proved this from a Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Chavov of Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Aleph the following. I gave it to you over here. Ois Aleph. Kol Mekalel Dayan Midayone Yisrael Oiver B'Loi Sesei. Anybody who curses a Dayan in Klal Yisrael violates the Loi Sesei. Shenemar Loikim Loi Sekalel. That you cannot curse one of the Dayanim. V'cheinim kilo hanasi. Or if you curse the Nasi, echad roish Sanhedri Gedoili, or Hamelech, whether it's Sanhedri Gedoila, whether it's the head of the Sanhedrin, or the king, hareza oiver b'loi sese. Shenemar v'nasi ba'am k'loi sar. V'loi dayin v'nasi b'ovad, el kol makal echam yisrael. Okay, fine. So does the Rambam say the Dayan, or the head of the Sanhedrin, the Nasi, is in the Lishkas HaGozis? When, in order to violate V'nasi Ba'am Chaloisar, which applies to the head of the Sanhedrin, HaGadol, or the king, does he say, and by the way, it's only if he's in the Lishkas HaGozis? No, it doesn't say that. First of all, you're not allowed to curse anybody anywhere. But to violate that specific pasuk, V'nasi Ba'am Chaloisar, does he have to be sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis in the Mishka, in the Beis HaMikdash? No, it doesn't sound like it. So Seder Salvechik, you see from here that anything that doesn't depend on all 71 Dayanim functioning together as a group, yes, they only have the status of 71 Dayanim, the Beis Din HaGadol, if they're in the Lishkas HaGozis. If they're outside, they lose that unique stature. At the same time, there's an appointment, there's a minoy, there's a status, a title to each individual Dayan that travels with him wherever he goes. And that's not unique to the Lishkas HaGozis, and as you see from our Gemara, that doesn't require all 71 to be there. You could have even 3 or 5. That has significance for Smichas Parlam Dover Shaltzim, but that has significance for the Egel Arufa. Rav Salvechik went further to say that perhaps much of this he quoted in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Salvechik, some quoted in the name of Rav Chaim, but he added that perhaps this is not only a halacha in Beis Din HaGadol, but perhaps every appointment of Smichas Zekeinim as well is really a personal appointment. It's not only to function as a person who paskin shilas, but there is a personal appointment, a minoy in the gavra, which was his language, a title, a stature that goes along with that, that's independent of his role of paskining shilas. So he proved that again from this Gemara. The Gemara continues. And Yudal Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara, we're going to get to it and you give him a base, switches over from Smichas Palom Dovah Shel Tzibur, from putting your hands on top of the Palom Dovah Shel Tzibur, to Smichas Zikeh, Smichas Sabi, to Smicha for paskening shaylos for hara. But the Gemara says on Yudarum et Aleph in that context, Amar Bishuim ben Levi. Look at the period right in the middle of the daf. Amar Bishuim ben Levi, ain't smicha b'chutz la'aretz. You cannot give smicha, confer the ability to paskin shaylos, ish mipi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. You cannot do that in chutz la'aretz. My ain't smicha, I lemara. Is it this Gemara? Yes. Yes. I lemara. If you're going to say you can't dan dine knossos at all in chutzlaretz for tanatz and hedron heges bein bars bein bechutzlaretz, you can be dan dine knossos in chutzlaretz if you would have smuchim. Ella, no, what it means is deloy samchinim bechutzlaretz. You cannot confer smicha in chutzlaretz. Pshita, that's obvious. Samchim bechutzlaretz v'nismachim baaretz. That's pashit. What about? I'm sorry, Pshita, Soimchim b'chutzlaretz, v'nismachim b'chutzlaretz, b'aretz, ha'amin and deloy. We already said, the Gemara is going to say in the interim, that if you have the Soimchim in chutzlaretz, meaning those who are conferring smicha in chutzlaretz, and those who are receiving smicha in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot do that. Ella, no, the shaila is the following. Soimchim b'aretz, v'nismachim b'chutzlaretz. What if you have those who are conferring the smicha, they're in Eretz Yisrael, but those who are receiving smicha in chutzlaretz, my. Can you do such a thing? So the Gemara concludes that you cannot. We'll get to that Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, if you have those who are conferring smicha in Chutz La'aretz, that doesn't work. They have to be in Eretz Yisrael. What about those who are receiving smicha? Do they also have to be in Eretz Yisrael, or can they be in Chutz La'aretz? Interesting shaila. So Rashi says, what are we talking about over here? Look at Rashi. Soimchim ba'aretz v'nismachim b'chutz la'aretz is towards the top. Rashi says a strange case. This is how he understands the Gemara. Im ha'soimech oimed ba'aretz v'nismach oimed b'bavel. He says, if the person who's conferring this smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, v'nismach oimed b'bavel, and they're not next to each other, v'leizei gabe soimech mima'ani. He says, then does it work? Mima'ani ki'ilu isei gabe b'shah smicha. Umatzi lemeidan b'chutz la'aretz. Can it be considered as if they were together, and he can judge in chutz la'aretz? Because it's not Sanhedrin Hegas. But Odilma came in the lazy gabayo, since he's not present. He's not there with him. B'shas micha lo mahanile. It doesn't work. Meaning Rashi understands the shayla of the Gemara to be: do they have to be together in order to confer smicha? Something we do this all the time over here. We send klaf to guys in Argentina. I have guys taking smicha b'chinas from here. Faxing in from all over the all over the world, and we're giving smicha. We probably never met these people, and giving that's an exaggeration, but we're giving smicha to people totally not here. So fine, but that's our fake smicha. But what about real smicha, bona fide smicha? Can you give bona fide smicha to a person who's not there? Does he have to actually appear in person in Eretz Yisrael? Does he have to be near you in your presence? That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Dilma came in the lazy gabay b'shas smicha lemanim. Or maybe no, he can't be far away. He's got to be there with you. That's the shayla of the Gemara. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Does he have to be present, or can it even be a long-distance smicha? That's not how the Rambam understood. Look at the Rambam, Perek Dalet, Sanhedrin, Halacha Vav. Ein soimchen zekeinu b'chutz la'aretz. You cannot do smicha in chutz la'aretz. Ve'af al-pi she'elu ha-soimchen nismuchu ba'aretz. Even though those who are who have the smicha and they're conferring it got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, they can't confer smicha to others in Chutz La'aretz. Afilu hayu asoimchin ba'aretz v'anismach Chutz La'aretz ain't soimchin. Even if those are in Eretz Yisrael and the nismach is in Chutz La'aretz, you cannot give smicha. V'ain tarach leimim hayu asoimchin b'Chutz La'aretz v'anismachin ba'aretz. Certainly the other way. Those are conferring smicha in Chutz La'aretz, those are receiving smicha in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't work. The conferrer has to be in Eretz Yisrael. But let's say how Yishneim ba'aretz, they're both in Eretz Yisrael, Soim Chanoi Soi. Afal pi she'eino im hasmuchim b'makom echad. Even if they're not in the same place, let's say you have one guy in Haifa, one guy is in Bnei Brak. Can you confer smicha in that fashion? They actually have to be there. What would Rashi say? Rashi would say, that's the shayla of the Gemara. One's a Chutz La'aretz, one's in Eretz Yisrael. Clearly, those who are conferring smicha got to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's non-negotiable. But does the party receiving smicha have to be with him, or can he be long distance? So you can even have long distance in Eretz Yisrael. One guy's up north, and one guy's down south. Can you have such a thing? That's the shayla of the Gemara according to Rashi. The Rambam says, no, of course if they're both in Eretz Yisrael, you could confer smicha, even if they're in different places in the country. What is the shayla? The shayla is, does the person receiving smicha also have to be in Eretz Yisrael? Rashi learned the shayla, the musma, the masmich, the one conferring the smicha, he for sure has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The nismach, not necessarily, but he's got to be there. That's the shayla of the Gemara. Does he have to be there? Can he do long distance? But it sounds like he doesn't have to be in Chutzlah, in Eretz Yisrael, per se, independently, it's only because he's got to be there in order to receive smicha, and the guy who can confer smicha is only in Eretz Yisrael. However, for the Rambam, it doesn't sound like that it's because you need to be there. The Rambam says even if they're in different places in Eretz Yisrael, it's okay. So then what then is the shayla of the Gemara? So Salvejik explained, it sounds like for the Rambam, the shayla of the Gemara is the person receiving smicha significant here as well, that he also has to be in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, is the smicha process, conferring smicha, only from the part of the person conferring the smicha, he's chashuv over here. The guy receiving the smicha is just, either he gets it or he doesn't, but he's not a major player in this exchange, and therefore he can be in Chutz Laaretz. The person conferring the smicha, he's got to be in Eretz Yisrael. Person receiving smicha is not a player in this exchange, so he can be in Chutz Laaretz. The Rambam says, no, they're both critical components over here, of this process of transferring smicha. Not only the person conferring it, but the person receiving it too. He also plays a significant role, and therefore the Rambam's opinion is, that was the shayla of the Gemara. Does he play such a significant role that he's got to be in Eretz Yisrael himself? Or maybe no, he could even be in Chutz Laaretz. But for the Rambam, it was never a shayla that they two don't have to be next to one another. Of course not. Of course you could do it long distance. Why not? Rather, what did the Rambam understand? The Rambam understood the shayla of the Gemara is, does the person receiving smicha play a critical role? What role does he play? Instead of salvation, the role he plays is because he's receiving a unique status. He's not just being given permission to do something. He's now being endowed with a title of samuch that requires you to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's more than just the functions that go along with it. It has a title and a position of authority that accompanies it. That is how the Rambam learned this Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yudal Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. There was once a gzeira. Look at the top line, Yudal Amud Aleph. Shepam achas nigzera malchus harosh gzeira Yisrael sheko hasoymech yehoreg v'chol hanismach yehoreg. Whoever gives smicha, whoever receives smicha, should be killed. And if you had a town next to it where there was smicha, they would destroy the town. And anything that was in the tchum, they would uproot. So why did they do this? Why do they care so much about the smicha process? The answer is, because once it's lost, it's lost. They knew that. Once you break the chain, they knew it would be lost. You cut off the head, you get rid of the leadership. They figured Klal Yisrael would fall apart. So Ma Asr Yehuda ben Bava, right? Yehuda ben Bava do Halach v'Yoshev lo ben Shnei Harim Gedolim ben Shnei Ayaros. He sat in between two mountains, when he concealed himself between two cities, between two tchumen. V'Samach Sham Chamisha Zekenim. He gave smicha to five historical individuals, or mayor, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, Elazar ben Shemua. Some say even Rabbi Nechemia. So who gave smicha to Rabbi Meir? Who's it say over here? Who gave smicha to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. However, the Gemara later on, you look a few lines down, a few lines down, anybody who says the Rebbe Meir did not get smicha from Rebbe Kiva is a toya. He's wrong. So who gave Rebbe Meir smicha? Was it Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava or was it Rebbe Kiva? For the Gemara, samche Rebbe Kiva gave him smicha v'loi kiblu samche. Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha v'kiblu. Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha, and it was accepted. It stuck. So Rabbi Kiva gave Rabbi Meir smicha, didn't work. Didn't stick. Then Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha, and it stuck. So they both are true. Rabbi Kiva gave him smicha, but that's not what, that didn't stick. Then Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava came and he gave him a second smicha. What do you mean it didn't stick? What does that mean? What does it mean it didn't stick? So Rashi says, I think Rashi says it. He was too young. Where is it? Look, Kiblu Lefisha Adayin Ayah Bocher. He was too young. What? So they didn't accept him? Rabbi Zion, does the community have to accept? Well, why you? You know, you don't need a communal. If we would, it'd be much harder. What do you mean, communal acceptance of a samuch? It's not a community appointment. The guy gets mitzvah. He doesn't need the community to agree. So that's the kasha of Yaakov Emden S in the back of the Gemara.
Is it that they didn't accept him, or he didn't accept it?
Ooh.
Excellent.
Oh, but that's not what Rashi says. Oh, Rashi says he was just young. Pashup Shat is they didn't accept him. So Esther, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because he was young. Esther, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, near Be'enai, Tzarachin, Matam Shaykh Bazeh. If you look in the back, if you have in the Yilkum of Farshim, it's the Hagaisa Yavitz. And you doubt him in Arab. Me name him is the Bari Davka, Skomas, Kol Chach, Me Yisrael, Smichim is Man. Is everyone, do you need everyone to agree? You don't need everyone to agree. What do you mean, Lo Kiblu? So the pshat is, so the Salvechik said, like Chesi just said, that what the pshat is, no, he didn't accept it. He got smicha. He said, I'm too young. He had anivus. It's a lost trait nowadays, but humility. He said, ah, I'm not worthy, and he meant it. He wasn't joking, you know. I'm not worthy, you know. No, yes, you know. One of those. No, he taka meant it. So he didn't accept it. Till Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava came along and gave him smicha again. He asked for salvation. What do you mean he didn't accept it? Who said you have to accept smicha? We gave it to you, whether you like it or not. It's not dependent on you. Says of salvation, you see from here that the answer is smicha is not only a one-way exchange. It's a two-way street. It's a conferring of a title that applies to the person. It's not just a functionality that you get. You have the ability now to rule on matters. You have reached the requisite amount of knowledge that you are now fit to paskin shiros. Either you've reached it or you haven't. No. Smicha is, at least the old time smicha, is a minui negavra. It endows you with a certain title and status, and Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Meir refused to accept it from Rabbi Kiva. He said it was too young. From Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, when he was a little bit older, then he accepted that status. Yeah, what do you want to say? He asks, what do you mean, below kiblu mine? They didn't accept him. You don't need communal acceptance for every samuch. So he answered, remember we talked about all the way at the beginning of the Zman, that in order to rejuvenate, or to recreate the smicha program, real smicha, the Rambam said, if you gather all Talmidei Chachamim together in Eretz Yisrael, together as a community, we can restart it. Jumpstart smicha. But that's for that. But you don't need it if you actually have smicha, ishmi, bishra, mesh, rabbein. You don't need communal acceptance. So therefore, Salvechik suggests, no, perhaps the pshat is, it's not communal acceptance, it's acceptance on the part of this individual, because smicha endows you with a certain title. And that title goes above and beyond your ability to paskin shilas. Just like we found by the Beis Din HaGadol, yes.
Did Rabbi Yaakov Emden
No, he doesn't give it teretz. You can look in the back. I don't think he has teretz. But Salvechik claimed that this concept expands as well to a king. He says, Poshut, if you look in the psukim almost, you see it. Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, Pasuk says, you should appoint a king, Soim Tasim Alecha Melech. And then the Pasuk says, Rak lo yaba lo susim v'lo yoshev esha Mitzrayma. He's not allowed to have too many horses. He can't bring the people back to Mitzrayim. If you bring them back to Mitzrayim, Laman Harbo, the sus will lead you back to Mitzrayim. Lo yaba lo yoshev, he's not supposed to have too many wives. And when he's sitting on the throne of Malchus, and then he should have a private, he should write his own private Sefer Torah that was unique to the king. So Salvechik said, why does it say, when he's sitting on his throne? It implies, applies even when he's not sitting on the throne. So said to Salvechik, you could be appointed as a king even before you're functioning as a king. Where do you see that? You see that from Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was appointed as king while David was still alive. What do you mean he's appointed as king while David is still alive? He's not functioning as king. The answer is that kingship, Malchus as well, has a second component. There's functioning as a king, that's one thing. But then there's the minui and the gavra, the title, the status, the label of the appointment of being the king. And that could even apply while the first king is still alive. You can't have two kings functioning at the same time. Angel, you can't have two kings wearing the same crown. But you can have two people with that appointment, with that title. You know, that's what they call in the Chassidish world, the Rav Atzuir. You can have the young, the young Rebbe can already be appointed in the times of the previous. You can have the title, the appointment, without having the functionality that goes along with it. So Salvechik claimed that that's why
there's a kavod that's due to the king. Kavod that's due to the king doesn't only mean when he's sitting on his throne. You have to be mechabed the king. That's obvious. Even if the king is traveling around outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam writes, you have to be mechabed the king. Wherever the king goes, you have to be mechabed the king. Even though the king's power is limited to Eretz Yisrael, that's his domain. At the same time, wherever he is traveling, you have to be mechabed the king. Why? Because there's two elements, two notions here. One is the fact that he functions as the king, then one is the fact that he has a certain status and title. So that's what the psukim here are indicating. When he has the status of the title of a king, already lo yabel asusim lo yabel anoshim. Then v'haya kishivtei akisim amachle, when he's actually functioning as a king, he's got to have his own sefer Torah. That's unique to functioning as a king. But there are many halachas that might not depend on that. They might only depend on him having the title or the status, like the kavod that he's that is due to him. That has nothing to do with him functioning as a king. That has to do with the title, with the label that goes along with it. Yeah, you want to ask something?
Could that be, does the Kohen Gadol have any shaykhs to the Malchus, to like being a melech? Because that could be what we were saying last week, as if the Kohen Gadol is walking around outside, he's begotten.
He's only allowed to wear them in the Beis HaMikdash. But while he's wearing it, not B'Shas HaVodah. I was giving being dramatic. He's walking into the pub and, you know,
right.
You know, you can't do that.
Right.
Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. In the bubble of a machlekes, if you were holding a bubble of chassidus, there's a big machlekes about who should be the rebbe. So the Beis Din decided for bubble of what is now called bubble 48, because the previous rebbe said, already declared when he was alive, that this is the Rav Atzuyer. He's the young rebbe. He's the older one. Bubble 45 lost because he's not the Rav Atzuyer. Anyway. There's one other halacha that I wanted to deal with over here. This is one aspect of smicha. Not only is it the functionality, ability to paskin, but it is also a minu in the gavro. We said that that's true by the Beis Din HaGadol. It might even be certainly true by the king, and might even be true by every person who receives smicha. It's considered an appointment, a title that's being conferred to the individual. Not only an ability to paskin. However, there's one other topic over here in smicha that I wanted to, which we've talked about as other aspects of smicha earlier. There's one other topic that I wanted to discuss over here, and that is whether or not you need smicha biyad. Look at the braisa that begins after the period, about 2/3 of the way down your gimel beis. The braisa says, Tana, smicha v'smicha zekeinim b'shloisha. Smicha and smicha zekeinim require three. My smicha u'my smicha zekeinim. What are these two things? Smicha and smicha zekeinim. So we already discussed, smicha zekeinim was putting their hands on top of the parum davar shel tzibo. What's the other smicha? Amar Rabbi Yochanan mismich sabi. What it means is the old people giving you smicha. Rashi says, likrois lohem rebi. In order to receive permission to paskin. Amar le'abai le'Rav Yosef, mismich sabi b'shloisha. You need, how many people do you need to confer smicha?
Three.
How do you get to three? Minolon. Where do you get three from? Midich siv, ayismach es yodav olav, Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands on top of Yeshua, ihochi disagi b'chad. How many was Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was one. Should be enough with one. V'chitayim, and if you'll say, Moshe b'mokam shivim v'chad koi. The Gemara has a rule that before the emergence of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, Moshe Rabbeinu was considered to be all 71. So Moshe Rabbeinu is like a walking Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71 individuals. Moshe Rabbeinu was also considered to be the king, as the Gemara Masechta Zevachim. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the din of 71 dayanim. It's going to come up throughout Masechta Sanhedrin. Ihochi, if that's the case, Liboy Shimon Vechad. So Moshe Rabbeinu was like a miniature 71. What do they call compressed? What do they call that file that they shrink? What do they call that? You know, condensed file. A zip file. Moshe Rabbeinu is like a zip, you know, a zip file. Vechad kashal avdil. Kasha. Okay, it's a kasha. We have no teretz. You have to give smicha b'yad. No. You give smicha by giving a name. No hands involved. We call you Rebbe, and you have reshus to dan dine knosses. That's it. There's no hands involved. What happened to the hands? It's so nice. What a nice photo op. What happened to the hands? Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua. You know, sometimes at the wedding, you give the chassan, you know, Kala will do something. Oh, but the photographer didn't get it, so you have to do it all over again. You know? Let's break it again. So this time again, it doesn't matter if no one sees it. So no photo op. This is such a good photo op. You have the grandmother come smicha process. You know, she'll see her son getting his hands with the hands and then, you know, the masmich on top of him. Why not? Moshe Rabbeinu did it to Yeshua. What happened over here? So at the time that YU had their first Chag HaSmicha, every 4 years now we have a Chag HaSmicha where we celebrate all of the Musmachim. People get Smicha on a continual basis, but we celebrate the Musmachim every 4 years. But the first time YU had a Chag HaSmicha, I don't even know what year it was in. So this was a big deal in America, you know, for the that part of the community. And so there was a journal at that time that was published called Hapardes. Now I don't think it comes out anymore. It was a major Talmid HaChachamim wrote for Hapardes. So in that year that they had the first Chag HaSmicha, so there was an article that appeared from Rabbi Herzog. Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael.
It wasn't a YU magazine?
No, it was not a YU magazine. Yitzhak Elchanan was a big thing. So so Rabbi Herzog wrote an article. The truth of the matter is, I think the article appeared in Israeli journal Sinai at the same time, but it appeared here as well, in order to commemorate, you know, to be happy, to celebrate the Chag HaSmicha, to praise Him. Many they had Pardes dedicated a whole volume just to Smicha, in Yonei Smicha. Rabbi Moshe printed an article there, which later appeared in Igros Moshe, and Rabbi Herzog printed an article too. So if Herzog discusses this issue, what happened to the Smicha B'yad? Where'd it go? So Rabbi Herzog says, the truth of the matter is, we really should do it now too. I mean, it should have been done, no, not now, but it should have been done throughout the times that they were giving bona fide smicha, not our smicha. But it should have been done after Yeshua. Should have continued on. Why not? Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua B'yad. It was only the time of the gzeira over here against smicha that they stopped it, because it was too public. So he said, at the time of the gzeira, that's why right after this comes the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Because right at the time of Yehuda ben Bava is when they stopped Smicha B'yad. But the truth of the matter is, until the times of Yehuda ben Bava, until the times of the Gzeiras HaMalchus against Smicha, they were conferring B'yad. It's not Ma'akev, it's not indispensable to conferring Smicha, but that is what should have been done when you're conferring real Smicha. It should in fact be B'yad, just like Moshe Rabbeinu gave Smicha to Yeshua. That's wild. I mean, there's no indication of that in the Gemara at all. So Svi Deyesh, it's Chiyo Yaakov Weinberg, in his Tshuva Svi Deyesh, in the back he has Mamorim, not Tshuvas. So he has a Maim over there on this topic where he quotes Rabbi Herzog, and he says he thinks he found the Girsa in the Gemara like Rabbi Herzog. The Girsas Hagri Bartziloni. I don't even know who that is. And it's a minority opinion. Clearly no other Rishonim had this Girsa. But the Ri Bartziloni has a Girsa in our Gemara different than what we have. He says, "Amalei Rav Acha bereid the Rav, the Rav Ashi heches amchinungai. How do you confer smicha? Meisvilei, not meisvei, like a kasha. Meisvilei yoda aresha. You put your hands on his head. V'samchilei b'shmei. You give him smicha. V'karalei Rebbe. V'yehevlei reshusu lemeid nadine knasa. So he had that part included in our Gemara that you give smicha b'yad. It's not like we have, but that would vindicate the opinion of Rav Herzog that really it should be conferred b'yad." But almost everyone else disagreed with Rav Herzog, and they said, no, it was a unique thing. Rav Moshe disagrees in his, Rav Moshe also discusses this in that Hapardes journal, what happened to Smicha B'yad. And Rav Moshe says it was a unique halacha, specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu, giving Smicha to Yeshua, or to that generation. But afterwards, no more. Why? What was different about the Smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua than to the smicha that was conferred in later generations, Ish mi pisha, Moshe Rabbeinu? If smicha was given b'yad then, why did it stop in later generations?
Okay.
But doesn't that teach us a rule that that's what we should continue to do? Yeah, what do you want
to
say?
The whole point was to show based on the issue of the meter.
It was a demonstration. It was a tekes. No. But it had no real halachic significance, meaning, yeah. Okay, but that's the their pshat. Why was it only by that it was only by Yeshua? Why should it only be by Yeshua? So I believe we could proceed. Rav Moshe doesn't explain this, but I believe that perhaps we could suggest a slightly different than your approach. Perhaps it was specifically by Yeshua for a different reason. The Rambam writes over here in Perek Aleph of Hilchas Malach and Malach Gimel the following: Ein ma'amid melech b'tchila, LLP beizin shel shivim zekeinim v'alpi novi. You cannot appoint a king. We're going to get to this Gemara later on. You cannot appoint a king unless you have a beizin of 71 and a novi. How do you know that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a king, and we'll see this Gemara also. Yeshua also had the status of a king. He inherited that from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki Yeshua, just like Yeshua. Sheminehu Moshe Rabbeinu u beiz dinoi. Like Yeshua, that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed him and his beiz din. Moshe Rabbeinu together with his beiz din appointed Yeshua as king. So what do you see? In order to appoint a king, what do you need? A beiz din and a Navi, like Moshe Rabbeinu. 1 minute over here. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu need a beiz din together with him? He was a beiz din. Moshe Rabbeinu was b'mokum ayin alf koi. We just saw that Gemara over here. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is like a condensed beiz din of Shimon v'Echad. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu need the help of others? Well, he's being nice over here, make them feel good. Shimon v'Echad. Why does he need Moshe u beiz dinoi to confer the status of being a king? So the Brisker Rav explains the following. The Brisker Rav in the Sefer on Chumash on Parshas Baal Oischa explains that this concept that Moshe Rabbeinu was b'mokum ayin alef koi stopped at a certain period of time. When did it stop? It stopped in Parshas Baal Oischa, where the pasuk says that osvali shivim habiyom Hashem al Moshe osvali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael asher yadata hei mizikne ha'am v'shayet v'lachtuch tzom alo amoy v'siyasu sham imecha imach Moshe Rabbeinu confers smicha upon them, upon all 70 zakenim, amongst whom was Yahushua, was one of them. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to all 70 of them. Says the Brisker Rav, at that time, Moshe Rabbeinu lost his status of b'mokum ayin alef koi, of being, this condensed miniature based in Agado. And who did he give the power over to? He transferred that, or he divested it. He, what do you call that? He delegated it to all Shivim Zakenim. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wanted to make Yahushua to be the king, he needed Beis Dinai. Now all of a sudden, he needs these other 70 guys. Before, he was with Mokum Ayin Alef Koi. But that stopped in Parshas Baal Oischa, when it says, Osvali Shivim Ishmi Ziknei Yisrael. Already now that stopped. He divested himself, of all that power, and he distributed it to the other Shivim Zakenim as well. That's why he needed to be together with his Beis Din in order to make Yahushua to be the king, which was a different above status. But Moshe Rabbeinu gave over that power, b'mokum ayin alef koi, to all of the Sanhedrin agadol. So perhaps that's why Moshe Rabbeinu needed to be masmich them biyad. That smicha was different than the rest of ours. Smicha is continuing on the Messiah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, Zakenim, Anshik Nesach Gdaila, blah blah blah, Mishnah, Masech Tzavos. That needs Ishmi Pisha Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a Messiah. But the idea of being smasmich biyad, that was unique to Moshe Rabbeinu because he was transferring, literally, his power to these other individuals, to Yeshua and to the Shivim Zakenim. That's why it had to be biyad. Why did he have to transfer over his power? So the Brisker Rav explains the following. A lot of Brisker Torah today. But the Brisker Rav explains the following. The Rambam writes, I didn't give it to you. But the Rambam writes in Perek Alf of Hilchas Mamrim Halacha Aleph. You should be familiar with this Rambam. The Rambam writes, Beis din agadol shebiyushalayim heim ikar Torah shebal peh veheim amudei ha'horah. They are the foundation of Torah shebal peh, the pillars of Torah, mehem chayk u'mishpat yaitzei l'chol Yisrael. And from them, justice and law emanates to all of Klal Yisrael. Who used to have that role? Who used to be the source of all of Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. So in order to give over that role, who is he going to give that role to? To the Beis Din HaGadol. That's their main function, to sit in the Lushkas HaGadzis and adjudicate the matters of Torah Shebaal Peh and figure out what is the halacha in its most theoretical sense. Not practically, how should we function? No. What is the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam? That used to be Moshe Rabbeinu's job, but he gave it over to the Shivim Zakenim. And therefore, perhaps that's why we can understand why the smicha Moshe Rabbeinu was different, that he had to do it to confer that smicha biyad, as opposed to every other smicha, which was not biyad. That's perhaps the meaning of this Rambam in Perek Dal of Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Aleph. This the Brisker Rav makes this point. Look at the Rambam says in Perek Dal Sanhedrin Halacha Aleph. Echad Beizin Agolim Echad Sanhedrin Ketana O Beizin Shal Shloisha Tzarech Shiyah Echad Mehen Samuch Mi Pi Samuch. In order to confer smicha for any Beizin, whether it's a Beizin of 3, a Beizin of 23, or the Beizin Agolim, you have to have one person who's a Samuch Ish Mi Pi Ish Ramesh Rabbeinu. O Mesh Rabbeinu Samuch Yeshua Biyad. Mesh Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua with his hands. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them smicha, and the shechina rests on them. Moshe Rabbeinu gives smicha to anybody else throughout history. Rabbi say, Tana, Pasuk Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu confer authority upon anybody else. Yeah,
Israel.
In Parshas Yisrael, what happened to the Sarei Alafa? You know, the Sarei Alafim, Sarei Meyos. Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. You know, first father-in-law. History gives him, gives him advice. Moshe Rabbeinu follows the advice. What are you working so hard for? Delegate the responsibility to others. Moshe Rabbeinu listens and he appoints judges. Why doesn't the Rambam list those? Why does the Rambam only list Yeshua and the Shivim Zakenim?
After he lost his car. Oh.
Because those were temporary appointments. Moshe Rabbeinu maintained all the power himself. Ooh, but this smicha was different. This smicha is different than every other smicha authority to Paskin Shavuos. That's an authority that's given over, that's fine. Moshe Rabbeinu here was transferring his own power to the other musmachim, to the Shivim Zakenim, and to Yeshua. So that smicha is fundamentally different than every other smicha. Moshe Rabbeinu remained the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, the head of the Sanhedrin, but he transferred the power, the rest of his power, to the other Shivim Zakenim. Yeah.
After this conferring smicha to his authority went down.
Yes.
Like he could not act in that.
He couldn't act alone. You see that when he appointed Yeshua as king, he needed their approval. Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu, ubeis dinoi. That's perhaps the last final thing. Yeah?
Is there like any other comparable scenario where we see like
a person who has that power that's.
And like lowers his own. I know this might be a unique situation, but like. Is there like where is this even like coming from?
Well, he was setting the template for what would be the, you know, the ultimately the. The model that Klaiso would need to carry on in the future. So it wasn't kind of going down to Madrid. You're saying usually Malam Bekaydesh Ve'imaridin. Yeah. I don't know if his Kedusha went down, though. His authority went down. That's perhaps also the last thing, the Pshat in the Rambam. So many things fit with this Pshat in the Rambam. Look at the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Sanhedrin, Locha Gimel. The Rambam says that we have many Batei Dinin, Kavun in Yisrael, 3, 23, 71. Kaivim b'tchilo beizin agadol b'mikdash. The first thing you set up when you're appointing batei din is the beizin agadol on the beis hamikdash. V'hu anikras and hedri gedoyla u'minyanim shivim ve'echad. That's 71. Shenemar osfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Moshe al gabein. Moshe Rabbeinu was the roish of the beizin. Shenemar v'siyat v'sham imcha harei shivim ve'echad. They will sit with you together with Moshe Rabbeinu with 71. Whoever is the greatest in wisdom becomes the head. Vuhu Rosh HaYeshiva. It's going to be the Rosh HaYeshiva. Vuhu Shekaran Oseh HaKamim Nasi B'Kol Makom. He's the one who's called the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. Vuhu Oime Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu. What in the world does that mean? What, he sits on Moshe Rabbeinu's chair? What does it mean? Hu Oime Tachas Moshe Rabbeinu. What a strange language. He's his spiritual heir. Why is that relevant? The answer is because these were all positions that were occupied by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu initially occupied all 71 positions. Then he gave over the other 70 to the Shivim Zakenim, but he maintained that one. And anybody who occupies that chair is filling the role that was initially, Moshe Rabbeinu initially had all the chairs. It was Shivim Mokamayin Avkai. He gave over his authority to the other Shivim Zakenim. That's when it stopped, Moshe Rabbeinu Mokamayin Avkai. That's why this smicha had to perhaps be biyad. But perhaps you see further than that. The Moshe Rabbeinu maintained the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, that he didn't give up. And any Nasi of the Sanhedrin in the future will really be occupying the chair that remained Moshe Rabbeinu's chair. He used to have all 71, but at least he maintained this one was his. And anybody who occupies that position later on in history will be occupying Moshe Rabbeinu's chair. It's interesting, what Soloveitchik noted, it's brilliant. We say in the brachas of the Birchas Kaihanim, the Kayan says, Asher kitshanu b'kedushasai shal Aaron. Why do we have to mention Aaron? So Soloveitchik said anybody who functions as a kayin is really following in the is really occupying the same chair that was occupied by Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, I mean, it's similar to this, that the person who occupies the seat of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, is occupying Moshe Rabbeinu's chair, but it's really Moshe Rabbeinu's position. Kohuna is really Aaron HaKohen's position. Anybody who comes along later is occupying Aaron HaKohen's position, but the position, I don't know what significance it has, but you see it reflected in the bracha, that they are occupying that position that was initially meant for Aaron HaKohen. So too over here, a similar idea, that anybody who's a Nasi of the Sanhedrin is really occupying the place that was meant for Moshe Rabbeinu. But I believe that this indicates to us that really all the 71 Dayanim took the place of Moshe Rabbeinu when he divested himself of all of that authority. And perhaps that's why his smicha had to be biyad to Yeshua, to the Shivim Zakenim, even though smicha later on for generations is not biyad. Okay, shkoyach, everyone. So tomorrow, 10:15.